Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1118. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shahid Abdul Hadi. What is up, good sir?
I'm doing well because unlike John Cena, I didn't give up and tap out like a bitch. I never give up.
Yep, never. Yeah, it's part of the motto. It's baked into the motto, and he gave up to end his career.
With a smile on his face like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh my gosh, no one else in that arena had a smile on their face. I know that would have been a moment like when I was at WrestleMania 30 there, and Brock Lesnar beat the broke the Undertaker streak, and I just started cackling at everyone who was horrified around me. I did the same thing when I saw John Cena tap out, and everyone was just horrified. I just started cackling at my house.
You know what's funny about that? Because I also went to that WrestleMania when Brock broke the streak, and I was there with my wife, and it was like a whole group of us, and they was all shocked. My wife was like, "Why y'all shocked? I mean, Brock was beating him up the whole match. Of course, she's looking at it like a real fight. Like, of course he should have won. Like, did y'all not see what we saw?" Like, I tried to explain to her the whole
Great
lore. Yeah.
perspective.
I try to explain to her like the whole lore of the streak, and she's like, "So I guess, like I know what I saw. Brock was beating the shit out of him. The Undertaker like an old man. Like, y'all, why y'all surprised he lost?" And I was like, "Yeah, I mean, you put it that way, you do got a point." Because and it did remind me of that because I remember watching that and then seeing it, and our first thought was like, "Was that a mistake?" And then they had
Oh.
the 21-1 or the 22-1, whatever it was,
Yep.
banner drop. It was like, no, that was not a mistake. And everybody was just like shocked. Like, and I remember like that took people out the show for like a good 30 minutes to like an hour.
Oh yeah, that next I don't remember what that next match was, but it really suffered because of that outcome.
So,
But hey, nothing had to follow this outcome.
no.
So positive
Yes.
note there.
Okay. My feeling is like this. From our standpoint, we were kind of like my first instinct was like, "Why y'all surprised?" It's like John Cena's old school. Of course, he's gonna go on his shield because he's old fashioned like that, and he doesn't have anything to prove. Why is it a surprise? I wasn't making fun of the fans who were like mad and even getting pissed at Triple H and stuff like that, because yes, we know the story about wrestling. Yes, we know it's predetermined, but they were mostly invested. They paid their money and they wanted to see their hero win. So of course, when they saw John Cena like not only lose but tap out, they're gonna feel a certain way. And I won't make fun
Heck
of
yeah.
them, knowing when I went to see Infinity War, I was crying at the end, knowing that movie was fake. Like I like, yeah, well, you know, Thanos had to win because it built stake for the future and blah blah blah. Like nobody was thinking about that. People, when Spider-Man faded away, people were crying. And when that movie ended with Thanos dying, nobody was like, "Oh, I can see they built storytelling for the future." People was pissed. I remember leaving the theater. People was like, "What the fuck just happened? Like, did the bad guy won?" Like, people left the movie theater like gobsmacked. Like, they were ups they got caught up in the movie so much that they were actively mad or like actively sad. So knowing that, I can't get too upset at those fans. I get that. I'm more annoyed at people who should know better. Like the analyst talking about, "I would have never booked that way. There's no way in the world you could have John Cena lose like that. That's the breaking point for WWE. That's what you expect from that Nazi Triple H." Like,
Wow, yeah, and that is a sub story of this whole thing. This whole John Cena operation is Triple H has definitely lost at least a few rungs on that pedestal that he was up on not that long ago.
WWE jumped the shark, and this is why I'm never gonna watch anymore. And like, I expect that from somebody that's like a Blake Monroe fan account. I'm not expecting something like that from like Ariel Helwani. Like, come on, man. Like,
Oh,
you know better.
I was in tears when Yahoo sends me the alert of John Cena deserved better. And I'm just like, exactly what you're saying. Like, you know better. Like, you know how this works. Like, and the whole thing, like, even John Cena himself, like, he actively made it about the young wrestlers. On, especially after he turned babyface in this whole thing, there has been this huge push about younger wrestlers and him and making sure the next generation can shine. And it's just like, okay, whatever, Gunther's, some mid-generation
He's
between.
young. He's young in wrestling years.
But yeah, he's still young in wrestling years, like in the WWE, especially if you keep on doing what you're doing with him, which is keep him off TV when he's not champion, which is smart. Yeah, like he's gonna be around and live off of the I beat John Cena for
Yeah. Like he's
a
gonna be the
long
new legend.
time.
Like he's gonna be the new legend. Like keep in mind, that's the same person that retired Goldberg. And Goldberg, whatever you want to say, he meant a lot to a lot of people. You can say how, how things turn out at the end and how salty he might have been, but to act like Goldberg was some nobody would be disingenuous. And it's like, yeah, we saw John Cena put over Dominic Mysterio, do all the stuff with NXT. His Saturday main event was basically John Cena and like new John Cena and the new blood.
Yeah, John Cena's like, hey, I really love these people on NXT, so can we get them on the last show too? And he's just like,
Like,
And yeah, again, like you're expecting him to be the one to go over in this situation. Like, oh, the other hint to me that I just saw him going out on his shield was he's like, and it was one of those regular commercials. They're like, oh, when I came into this business, it was still a carny business. And I'm just like, okay, dude, that's
I
a little
mean.
tough, but it definitely has changed since he got into the business, for
Yeah,
sure.
like, but he's always had this mindset, like, I do business the right way and I'm gonna go out the right way. Like, he's kind of been that whole, him and Randy Orton's always kind of been like that whole new old school style. Like, I'm the new generation, but I came from the old school. It makes sense from Randy Orton with his family. And John Cena just decided to just embrace that because it's like, I'm the man that calls out the last of the real world champions is going to go out the old fashioned way. So I don't know why people are surprised. And to be perfectly fair, each retirement is handled differently. But he's one of the few people that kind of like knew that he was going to retire and had a plan from beginning to end, however successful it worked. Like, I know this is how I want my retirement and I know when I'm going out. And not a lot of people got to do that. Like, usually retirements are. Okay, loser retires. Like you lose your match. They do it that way. Like Shawn Michaels, you lose this match, you retire. Ric Flair, you lose this match, you retire. Or it's like Stone Cold Steve Austin. Your body just fall apart and you just retire when you don't and you retire when you don't want to. So
Yeah, and then didn't that really just happen not that long ago with Edge when he came back? It's just like, oh man, it's so great. I'm back finally again. And then he gets injured, what, 3 months into the comeback?
yeah, like break my leg. Like Bryan Danielson was kind of like, I retired because my body told me not to. Then I came back enough to like,
Realize my body was really telling
so
me
it's kind
not
of like I'm not
to.
retired, but I'm not wrestling no more. It's like, Mick Foley the same. Mick Foley the same thing. Like Sting is the only other person to kind of have like I'm gonna have a proper retirement. And of course they handled it like. They're different ages. Who's Sting gonna put over his like Sting putting somebody over his 50s? Like, what's that gonna do? Like, he's been like he's more like a legend thing where he's already established and the basically he helped establish Darby Allin. They was n nobody. It was like they treated Sting like he was Clint Eastwood and Unforgiven. Nobody wanted to see Sting lose, and that was perfect for Sting. Like that worked perfectly.
Yes, it did.
95% of the time, it like Stone Cold coming back in Dallas and beating Kevin Owens works because Stone Cold reached that legend standpoint. And trust me, nobody really wanted to see Stone Cold Steve Austin come back and lose at WrestleMania in Dallas. Like, I know it's like, oh, imagine what that would do for Kevin Owens. What was it going to do for Kevin Owens? Besides,
Oh, yeah, Yeah, I mean, he had already beaten John Cena multiple times at that point. Like, would it have been nice? It's always nice to have that I beat Steve Austin on my list, but
Yeah, that was a
he
it
really
just would
didn't
have
need
pissed
it.
people it would have pissed people off. You know how I know? Because trust me, nobody was happy about Baron Corbin beating Kurt Angle his last match at WrestleMania. That did not do him any favors whatsoever. They were pissed that he
Oof.
got the chance, and they were mad at him that he beat him in a bad match. Like, that did not do him any favors at
Oh, I
all.
forgot how much of a lead balloon that one was.
Yep.
Yeesh.
And normally that's how the retirements go. It's kind of like, you don't get a
Oh.
chance to pick your retirement. And if you do, it's kind of like you do it in your prime or the end of your prime. And it's because your body injured or whatever. Like Batista, he lost at Mania. I'm retired. And that
God.
was it. It was like, did it elevate Triple H? It felt like, and basically, it was like, Batista really came back so Triple H can get his win back. It just felt like, and they had that, oh, ECW death match nonsense. And I'm like, he really left Guardians of the Galaxy to go do this? Like, somebody really loved it. And it's like, that's how he wanted to do. And that's somebody, and it's kind of like, did that make it?
Yeah, that's one where someone, yeah, all of these retirements we're talking about, like the person involved ha and that's the other thing about the Helwani thing. Like, you've got to know that they had some level. Most of these people we've mentioned, and definitely John Cena, had some, if not all, of the input into what happened. Like,
Trust
come
me.
on, man.
If John
Like,
Cena really wanted to win, he'd have won.
yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. It's just like, come on, guys.
He'd have won, and he probably had beat LA Knight. And we're not having this conversation. Like, he would have wrestled LA Knight in DC, which would have fit. He'd have beat LA Knight. People were like, oh, well, LA Knight got the rub and everything like that. John Cena smiles and wave. And then you would have had the
Holds
other
up
old.
LA Knight's hand, it
Yeah,
points
and
to
then people got mad at, they could have put LA Knight over and they didn't because Triple H hates him. And then we had the old school in the podcast, like, see, back in my day, let people went out, they lost. They would have, trust me, it would have been that substandard of people who would complain if John Cena won. That's a different group of people.
Yep, it probably would have been a smaller group, but nonetheless, there definitely would have been gripes hitting my headlines one way or the other.
Triple H was surprised by the reaction he got. Yeah, I saw a surprise. He was laughing his ass off. Like he knew. Like that man was around for Undertaker and Brock Lesnar. Like, I don't know what this whole, like, Triple H has his blind spots. Why they acting like that man's an idiot? Like, he knew what type of reaction that was gonna happen. Did he expect them to curse him out? Probably not, but it's like, it is DC. And if somebody that's lived in DC and been to DC wrestling shows, DC tends to have some of the smartest crowds. And it's like, they like what they like. And if they don't like something, they will let you know. So, but trust me, any confusion about was that the right move or not, all you had to do was see Gunther on Monday Night Raw.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, and I mean, you started the podcast with it.
Yeah,
You
like
know,
he
John
came
Cena
in.
tapping out like a bitch is Gunther is, and I mean, he's one of those guys that as soon as John Cena mentioned the retirement, I'm like, who can he put over? And I'm like, Gunther's like on the very short list of people on that list. So,
Yeah, like, is he? I thought, is he gonna be Gunther or Braun Breaker? One of those two.
oh, yep.
Otherwise, like, no one else. Is no none of the older wrestlers needed, and none of the younger wrestlers in a position where they could take advantage unless they won't push them like that. So other than that, it didn't make any sense for anybody else to do it. So, and he's definitely gonna milk it, and they gonna milk it too, because of course he getting all the heat. He's reveling in it. And who does he see leaving? AJ Styles. Mister, next year gonna be my last year, so y'all better get to watch. And it's like, yeah, I can do the math. AJ Styles and Brock Lesnar and Chris Jericho better watch their back. And so should Nikki Bella, miss. This my last run too.
Oh my gosh, if Gunther retires her too, that would be the ultimate
Yeah.
if
all these people talk about they don't know how to book, and it's like Gunther had to leave with security because he getting death threats. It's like that's not like old, that's not like 1970 shit to me that y'all always be glamorizing.
People love to have their cake and eat it too. Like,
Yeah.
can't have it both ways here, kids.
But that's fine. But like I say, that was definitely enjoyable. Like my thing about John Cena is I've never been the biggest John Cena fan, but I always acknowledge the importance of John Cena and the longevity of his career. But the whole he the greatest of all time thing is like, don't try to revisit history with me. Like that works for a generation that's younger than us. So they've just seen all the great John Cena, US champion challenge John Cena and Suicide Squad era John Cena. So they have rose-colored glasses because they've seen all the highlights. But anybody that's watched John Cena whole career and saw the first 6, 7 years, yeah. You don't have to lie to me. Like Triple H was the most hated man at roster, and they hated John Cena so much he ended up turning babyface 5 months later. So
I mean, I would say that there's a long history of me defending John Cena on this podcast because of general internet hate
I mean,
for
actually,
him.
he's a B minus wrestler. He's not as bad. He's decent as a wrestler. He's not that bad. I was like, if that's how y'all talking about y'all world champion. Like he's like, I was there when they kept lining up heel after heel to put him over, and it was not working. Like fans was not trying to hear that. And eventually he got to the point where it's like, we gonna accept you. And then he became, Big Match John and Glorious John and Best Man on the Mic John. And I'm like, boy, propaganda is a beautiful thing. But it don't work
I
on
mean,
it. I don't.
he did carry them during, unfortunately, again,
Yes.
mostly stunt granny days, during some like two different bad periods of wrestling.
Yes,
Oh,
I give him credit for that. Like he
oh.
did carry through a bad time, but it's kind of like they made him carry. Because I like keep in mind, Batista initially was doing the heavy lifting in that era till he got hurt the first time. Because people
Oh.
forget they were on kind of same level, and it's a reason why Batista's match main event at WrestleMania, not John Cena, and then not just because Triple H he was wrestling that too. It's because Batista was more popular than John Cena at that point, and that was no offense to John Cena, but it was like people tend to forget how big a deal Batista was. So, and it's like, John Cena was the man, but every now and then it's like, Jeff Hardy happened, and CM Punk happened, and Daniel Bryan happened, and The Rock happened. So people kept popping up. But John Cena was like Cal Ripken Jr. Just, keep on doing it, keep on doing it, and I just outlast everybody.
And that was that. I do think that's the biggest thing with him, and probably the main part of the argument to me for him being the greatest of all time is just longevity. It's a longevity situation.
I mean, I
Especially
guess.
in the main event circles. Like, as much as I love Sheamus now, he's been out of that main event picture for 5 years,
Yes,
at
at least
least.
maybe longer than that.
Yeah, like, other people that I'm trying to think of that have been around for that long, and I mean, that's the other problem. Like,
Like Randy Orton is his only contemporary as far as length of time. And to be perfectly honest, depending on how long Randy Orton want to stick around, I don't know if Randy Orton will ever be looked at like John Cena, but they might treat Randy Orton like they treat The Undertaker. Like I'm just a like he wrestled 30 years, what you gonna say? Like he started the same time as John Cena, he never left. He's still around and he's still wrestling. He's talking about I got a good 4 or 5 years left. And but that schedule is kind of like it could be arguing. And I say like the two names that come up as far as that would be like Randy Orton and depending on how much longer he wants to stay, Roman Reigns. Because as far as like people forget Roman Reigns has been on top for like what 6 straight years?
Oh, yeah, he's the
Seven
good
straight
one.
years, like basically the whole pan basically like from right before COVID till now, Like that man had the title for what, 3 years? 4 years?
Yeah, whatever that number was, it was an absurd amount of time.
It's like we used to talk about,
Yeah, he's getting there.
like, there's a reason Paul Heyman said what he said, because it's kind of like he started when the company was right in the pits, and then basically been there when the company basically, reborn like a phoenix. Like they're doing good business, and he is a big reason why. And even with him not having a title and him not being part time, he always feel like he's like the most important person in WWE, at least on the men's side when he shows up, like the way they treat him and the way the crowd treats him. So, and the fact that,
Yeah, he doesn't really need a championship if they
yeah,
don't want him to
like
have
he don't need
two.
it at this point. Like everybody know the man, and the fact that he's like, more dipping more than one toe in Hollywood cannot be discounted. Like that man was really in Zootopia, and he's really gonna be in Street Fighter. And it and I saw that trailer, I was like, you know what? They know exactly what type of movie they're making.
I feel like someone, I was talking to my buddy Ken about this, and he thinks that it's going to be more in the fun, cheesy Mortal Kombat movie original kind of
I
vein.
think it's more like let's make a remix version of the 92 version. And like not whenever or 94 whenever that Street Fighter Van Damme movie came out, and I'm like, you can't make Street Fighter serious. Like I heard people talk about like it looked too good. I'm like, what does a serious Street Fighter movie that's not animated even look like? Like you have a green monster from Brazil. Like you have a yoga master that stretches his arms out. Like the first time somebody throw a fireball out. Like what are we t like we aren't doing the raid. What are we talking about? It's street everything about Street Fighter is goofy. And it's kind of like they had the bonus stage when somebody's breaking the car. Like they know exactly what type of movie they are filming when they did that. Like you do not pick Cody Rhodes as Guile with that haircut by accident. Like they are leaning into it, kind of like, let's pick people that have fighting skills and let's pick people that people know. It's like people know Cody Rhodes. Like at this point, like Cody Rhodes has established himself as a big deal. People know Roman Reigns, and it's kind of like I was just laughing. Like we really, I'm back in the '90s. We getting that Street Fighter movie, and a Mortal Kombat movie, and people were excited for different reasons for both of them. Like my decade is back. So.
I mean, I am here for more ridiculousness. I was not big for either two video games. I was pretty off consoles and even upright arcade machines at that juncture. But boy, those movies from that time period have such a weird sentimental value that
So
I'm always here for a fresh take on
yeah,
it.
Street Fighter has always been ridiculous to me because I'm like, this movie is just bad, but it's a fun bad. I always enjoyed the Mortal Kombat movie because it's like that movie is a lot better than it had any right to be, considering the circumstances. It's kind of like it hit its tone perfect. Like it's a goofy movie, but it's an earnest movie. And it's just kind of like the fight scenes are very well done considering it's like 90s era, and it's like they respected the, I'm sounding like a fucking nerd. They respected the lore and storyline, like they were making a movie that seemed like they respect the movie. Street Fighter, it seemed like cocaine was fueling that script. Like I don't know
Well,
what
I
was going.
mean, Jean-Claude was there, so
But
this
I
is
just yeah,
unsurprising news.
but I laugh because they like David Dallas Mashin is playing Bison. He does look ridiculous in that trailer. People make it fun. I'm like, nobody in the '90s probably thought, oh, you know, it'd be a perfect M. Bison role, Julia. Like he was awesome in the movie, so that's why we have such a favorable idea of him. But it wasn't like that cast was meant like, oh yeah, Gomez Adams, that's perfect. Like, oh yeah, he's dying too. He'd be a perfect M. Bison. Like, no, I'm sure if Twitter was around back then, I could imagine the tweets would have went on for casting Raul Julia's M. Bison. So it's just something to say.
Oh
Like,
yeah,
you
that
never
would have
really
been
knows who you
rough.
watch. Yes.
Plus, I don't think he was that big at that point. Like, 'cause didn't he do the
He
Addams Family stuff after that, or was that
no, that
before?
was his last movie. Like he had like terminal
Was
cancer while he was filming that.
Street Fighter? Oh,
Yeah, he say he basically
I
did
did
that
not
for his.
realize
He
that.
say he basically did that for because his kids were fans and like, this gonna be my going away present. Like that man was dying while doing that movie, and he
Oh
still did that
wow, did
movie.
not know that story.
Yeah, that's one of the, that's like that adds to the legend of the thing, like how awesome a job he did considering the circumstances. Like, he on his, cause you can tell looking like his, he has a very thin face, and like once you hear the story behind, it's like, oh, it makes sense. It's like he acted his ass off considering what he was going through, and it's a reason why people are so protective of that role, and it's only because of him. But it wasn't like people thought that was a good casting choice when they cast him. He just made it that way. And that's how it normally works in Hollywood. So I'm looking forward to both of those. But back to Saturday Night's main event, beside John Cena failing the children. And those reactions are funny. Like even seeing Tyrese Halliburton's face, like the fact that he's such, I don't know what's a funnier fan, him or Timothée Chalamet. Cause Tyrese Halliburton is like a fan that knows that plays the kayfabe thing, but knows the behind the scenes stuff too. Like he knows the balance, and the fact that he's such a big time fan is just like they integrate him, and it's like that man was in the NBA Finals, and he out here
Oh.
goes, and I'm out here like doing a contract signing for NXT, and it's like, do people not realize how surreal that sounds? Like this is not some nobody.
Yeah, or some guy that's retired. Yeah, the man was one good Achilles away from possibly winning the NBA championship.
So we had Obafemi and Cody Rhodes, and I was making fun of Steve because I was almost, if WWE was serious, it's the time to have Obafemi. Well, I'm like, I know what people want, I know the idea, like how that would be. I'm like, y'all really think they're gonna have Cody Rhodes lose clean on Saturday Night main event on John Cena's retirement show when he is the world champion? Like the 2 days after his movie trailer came out, I know what y'all nerds wanted to see, but let's be realistic. Like you guys need to, y'all should know better.
It's one of those classic maybe you guys are inside a little too much here. NXT still only like a third of the audience of the of the two main shows, so
It'll
that's
be like Kevin Owens and John Cena. I'm like, no, it wouldn't be. Yeah,
oh.
John Cena was US champ when that happened, and he was like Mr. Mid-Card dude, just want to have good matches. It was not the same. It would not be the same thing as their flag, one of their flagship champions losing clean. And it's not, I can see it if Obafemi was on the main roster or if it was a title match, not just some, it's an exhibition match. Like I was wondering how they was gonna handle that, because I don't think they was gonna have, I like Cody Rhodes beating Obafemi probably would have probably looked a certain way. So have Drew come in. It's like you get your
Yeah.
great match, you get your ending, and like, yeah,
That
I
was
can't believe you.
a good solution. Like that was one that was to me a little bit of a stumper going into this event to see how they're gonna play it. And yeah, it worked out for the best of the longest running feud in the WWE
Yeah,
today.
and people are, I'm laughing how people are surprised. Like, I didn't think Obafemi be that over. I'm like, they were in DC. So come on now. Like, just all you gotta do is just, like, beside the fact that Obafemi is awesome, all you gotta do is check the demographic of Washington, DC. And it's like, it's no mistake that,
demographics matter.
yes, it's no mistake the people they chose from NXT all tended to have a certain look. Let's put it that way. Considering the city they were in, like I don't know if that was on purpose, but I noticed that very quickly. Like they had a great match. It's like, yes, Obafemi, push him like you push Gunther. As soon as you get to the main roster, like that man looked like, what they say, if Brock Lesnar cut better promos, is basically how they describe him. Like that man is cool, and I have yet to see him have a bad match.
Yeah, he's a really good wrestler, like, and he knows to stay within his move set. Like, yeah, he hasn't felt the need to bust out a Swanton or anything like Brock did early in his career, or a shooting star press. Like, hey, I'm gonna impress everyone and try to kill myself at the same
It's
time.
like I have an awesome power-based move set. It looks vicious, and I'm gonna do that. And it's kind of like he knows what he's good at. He maximized that. And he's a good bumper too. Like, and it's just like and he hasn't been wrestling that long. And everything about him just screams, like, especially the promo game. Like, every time I hear him talk, it's like, yeah, he has a way with words. Like, he has basically kind of like, I'm the baddest man walking, and everybody going to know it. He basically talks like a Marvel villain, but in a cool way.
Yeah, like he has, like him and Javon both have this way that you're just like he. I mean, I don't know if he's playing up his, is it Nigerian, if
He is to a certain extent, because I remember hearing him
heritage.
talking when he first got signed. But it's not like he's not it's not like a Kofi Kingston thing where he's like he is Nigerian, and it's
Oh
kind of
yeah,
like,
and did legitimately at least spend part of his childhood there, if I'm not
yeah.
mistaken.
So it's like you can like and I like I say I have Nigerian friends. Like, the accent turns up and down based on the crowd, or based on who they're around. So sometimes it's
Oh.
strong and sometimes it's not. Just like I talk a certain way around certain crowds, and I talk a different way around other crowds, and it's a reason we do that. And it ain't nobody's business. Like, if you know, you know, and if you don't know, you like ethnic people sometimes are more ethnic, but we comfortable being more ethnic. I'm sure the Paisans understand that. So.
Yeah, there may be some momentary situations like that. Or even I have cousins who actually grew up in Ireland, so around Irish people there are certain differences
Yeah,
too, so
you get to
you
let
know.
your guard down. So it was like, it had an awesome match. He was beating the brakes off Cody too. Like,
Yeah,
what?
well, Cody is not afraid to let someone look good. And he really let Obafemi toss him around like a shot put,
Yeah,
as he should have.
I was like, is Cody ear bleeding? When did that happen? I was like, it's the opening match. Like, let that man live. So you had that match. You had Bayley and Sol Ruka. Like, if anybody gonna put somebody over, it's Bayley. And it's almost kind of like she's basically kind of whole, I'm the old, I'm not Natty, but underneath her, I'm the great dame of the women's division trying to build the future of the women. Like, she just had a damn conference. You get to my city, I'm gonna pay for all your hotel, and we're gonna train for 3 days. Like, the fact that she did that is wild. Like, cause she did not have to do that.
Yeah, 'cause I mean, even Stephanie McMahon, like I don't see a whole lot of posts on Twitter slash X, but she's just like, hey, Bayley basically paid for this out of her own pocket, so you know, like that's like, damn, man, like they showed the picture of how many people were there, like
It was a lot of people.
yeah, like that's a lot of
That's a
expense
lot
to
of
just
money.
go,
And the
you
fact that
know.
people was there is like, oh yeah, John Cena came on one of the days and he stayed for 8 hours. And I'm like, I know why he did it, but I'm like, do people not realize how wild that sounds? Like, that man has a busy life. He's like, I love wrestling so much, I want to give it back. I'm gonna watch everybody's match and give input and feedback. And it's like, you only do that if for some respect. And Bayley, that type of person, like, I never heard anybody say anything bad about Bayley. Not a one.
Yeah, she seems to have had a spotless record in that department. It's you know, you feel like you hear something one way or the other, you know, whether it's Charlotte or Becky or and I'm trying to think of who else. Yeah, I guess we could talk about Mercedes Moné
Yes.
there
Oh,
if
you
we're gonna
hear.
go with the four
Yes.
horsewomen
Yes. You hear plenty about
comparison.
them, but and then it's like you had to match with Sol Ruka. It's like it was a she like here like made Sol look like $1 million, which is not difficult because it's like, yeah, Sol Ruka's a cheat code.
Yeah, it's still wild between her and Javon. It's just like I don't understand. Like Javon was one too, where like I heard a Swerve Strickland in a podcast, and he's just like, Yeah, he should be better than me. Like, he got to watch what I did, and now he's building off of that. Like, that's the way this works.
He's 21 doing this. And there's a British version of him that's just as good. That's around the same age. And I'm like, the odds that you find one of them are insane, and you have two. And it's like, do people not put that math? Like, 9 years from now, they'll be 30, which means if they can wrestle 10 more years and hit. Now, keep in mind, we had some world champions in their mid to late 40s, and they're 21. So they could theoretically wrestle for 20 more years if they wanted to and still wrestle longer. And people think about, well, like the Hardy Boys are still wrestling. Like Jeff Hardy somehow is like walking. Like Matt struggles, but Matt wrestles. Like Jeff Hardy basically kind of like still moves kind of well for his age, and considering the mileage he has on his body is a miracle. So
That man. Both of those men put their bodies through
yeah.
hell.
Well, I mean, you see it with Matt every time he walks. But Jeff's like, yeah, Jeff, he got some iron bones, but no, that's so like Bailey is a perfect. She made Sol Ruka offense look like $1 million, and Sol was just kind of like somebody her size doing those moves is just like it's unfair. Cause she's not a small, she's not, she's like what, 5'9", and not a skinny 5'9". Like she's like 5'8" or 5'9", and not like a, and she is like built. So.
She's what the 5'9".
Yes, mid what 25? She just turned like 25, I think, or 26. She wrestled.
What is that? 26.
Yes, and she only been wrestling for a few years. Keep in mind, she missed almost a whole year with an ACL injury. So imagine how good she would have been if she didn't miss that time. But it's like, yes, she the future, and they know.
Because what? Both her. I think they had both mentioned, or Michael Cole had mentioned that both her and Obafemi have only been wrestling for 3 years. It's just
Yes.
like, and she, she missed a year of that 3 years,
Yes.
unless he's playing around the injury time there. I'm not completely
No,
sure.
that's including that time. It's like she only been there 3 years, and 1 year's like, oh, she messed up with a whole year with an ACL. It's like they know. Every time you hear how they talk about her, all the opportunities that she gets, like yeah, they know. And she start like the mic work was the last thing, and it's like she get comfortable on the mic, and she is getting comfortable on the mic. Like the move set is there, the looks is certainly there, because it's like she looks drop dead gorgeous, and she just like everything
Yowzers.
about it is just cool. Like she Rob Van Dam.
As much as Kalani Jordan talks about the connection to Rob Van Dam, like, she doesn't
It's
quite have the cool factor that Sol
yeah.
Ruka does, even if the athleticism is fairly comparable.
It's
Like, there's.
wild. Like Kalani Jordan is awesome, and she always gets overshadowed because Sol Ruka happened to be there. And I like heel Kalani because it's kind of like it's a heel, but it's not like me. It's kind of like I'm making fun of you, heel. Like, oh, what happened? You lost. Like her calling Jordynne Grace a loser every week. It's hilarious, but no.
I've come around to her bitchiness. Like, it didn't maybe start well for me for Kalani, but it's starting to, like, I'm like,
Yeah.
yeah, I think you're finding, like, the right tenor here, like you're talking about, where, she's kind of just throwing needles at people.
And it's wild how she's being comfortable as a heel while her fiance is being comfortable being a baby face. Because I didn't expect Carmelo baby face, like Carmelo being a baby face to be the thing that worked, but it worked. But no. And then the Javon, Leon Slater, AJ Styles, Dragon League match was just awesome because it's kind of like you got three young high flyers, and you got the old people that probably grew up watching AJ Styles. And it's just like.
I mean, it is wild that we've spent enough time that, oh, and that's something that I didn't look up that I'll look up right now. I'm like, the fact that AJ Styles was the first X Division champion and Leon Slater is the current one. I'm like, that title has now been around for a significant amount of time.
The TNA, like they're gonna be on AMC next year. Like, they talk about the company that won't die. Like, no matter how many times they shot themselves in the foot, they shot themselves in the foot plenty of times. The fact that they are like almost maybe better than ever over 20 something years in the game is like, that's insane. Like,
It's really strange what has happened with them.
they just like, no matter, like they get some momentum, they'll mess it up, people forget about them, then they'll wash, rinse, repeat, and they just kept on doing it. And say what you want about that whole NXT thing, but like, I don't think they on AMC if they don't make that deal with WWE.
Oh my God. Okay, AJ Styles, X Division Champion, 04 to 07.
Good Lord. So
So yeah,
he was X Division champion. I think Leon Slater might have been one.
one.
He
He
was
was
just,
one.
as I watch him wrestle now with Joe Hendry. NXT's own Joe. I'm like, Leon Slater, the fact that, yeah, we kind of brushed the fact that Leon Slater is still technically a TNA employee, and he was on Saturday main event on John Cena's last night, and that was just treated like it was normal.
He's another one what's her name? Sol Ruka and Javon. You're just like, you sit there and you watch what they do, and you're just like, huh? That Swanton 450. I'm like, how do you even go, hey, you know what's gonna be like? I need to up level a 450, which is wild enough. And I always thought that there was a little bit of as much as I like the 630,
It looks kind of sloppy.
yeah, it always looks kind of sloppy, and it doesn't really, because people are naturally rotating through it, it doesn't look like the full force is coming
Yeah.
down on the other on the
Well,
opponent.
what's
But
the
that Swanton 450, I'm like, good Lord, man. I saw that once and I'm like, I'm in. Like Leon Slater, I never watched him in TNA at all, but I watched that one match on NXT, and I'm just like, I want to watch TNA just to watch this guy wrestle
Yeah,
more.
I saw him. It's like, oh, it's Beans and Toast, Javon Evans. Like this, like it's two of them. Like people, I would like to say one of the best things that's happened in pro wrestling is the level of athleticism has increased based on different people who normally wouldn't wrestle getting into wrestling. Like the evolution of like we have wrestlers who can do stuff like this now. And we have a lot of them that can do different stuff. And like it was a time where we might have one or two, and you have like six or seven. And it's just kind of like, yeah, people step their games up. Like you forget like Ricochet. We kind of forget like people like Ricochet because it's kind of like we take it for granted. It's like nobody was doing what Ricochet was doing, not at that size. And it's kind of like we just kind of
Man in
forget
the
about it.
bank.
Yeah, it's like and he wrestles like somebody that weighs 160 pounds. And he doesn't weigh 160 pounds at all.
Oh, well, and then that's the other thing that I think about with Javon all the time, and I'm like, that man is going to add adult weight at some juncture. And Leon Slater's the same way. I'm like, these two guys. I think they're checking in at like a $195 right now. I'm like, these guys are gonna look like monsters when they're like 225.
Yeah, when they're like 20, when they hit that, mid
Yeah, like
twenties,
25,
that college
26.
weight, they gonna like grown ass men. Like it's wild. You think about it. All you gotta do is say, look how John Moxley looked the first half of his WWE thing right before he left, and then look how he looked right before he left WWE till now. Like they look like two. The face is the same. That's the only thing that's the same. Like
So,
Dean Ambrose looked a certain way, and John Moxley looked like his dad. Like a
it's a nice
grown
way to
ass
say
man.
it.
So yeah, it's like WWE nutrition and just natural age. It's just like, yeah. But speaking of people who have elevated themselves based on nutrition and time and age, I want to talk about my girl Maxxine Dupri. Considering they had a whole storyline of people being a bully to her because they thought she couldn't wrestle, to see her now, and it wasn't that long ago. It's just kind of like they turn a negative into an amazing positive. And that stuff they were filming with Natty, where it's like Natty basically turned a pie made from Kill Bill. Like, I'm glad
Oh
they
man, I would
took
not been
that.
able to pull that name out
I'm glad
by
they took
watching
that
that
Twitter
movie.
that I'm glad they took that Twitter Triple A persona and put it on WWE TV, because say what you want about Natalya now, Nightheart, it's something about her and Bray's. It's like, yeah, she looked like a maniac. Like, I believe it.
Yeah, it might be sinking in a little bit. The new Natty might be yeah, I might be used to it
I mean,
finally.
because it's like she does have the pedigree and like the legitimacies. Like, she is a heart and she wrestles like a heart, and everybody knows like she's not a wallflower. And she been training people. Like, yo, people come to the dungeon for free. If you want to get good, come train. That's been her whole thing. She kind of been doing that for a long time, as people kind of been on the radar. So you see the skits of Maxxine Dupri. Like, Maxxine Dupri is perfect because she is a beautiful woman and she's a goofball. That has always worked in pro wrestling. The
Hey,
beautiful goofball has always worked.
yeah, and I mean, just yeah, it's wild that her smile and everything, like it's so well, yeah, I guess they talk about in the wrestling play to the person in the back of the arena, like her reactions and everything, I play to the back of the arena, like
Yes, like, it's over exaggerated in a good way, where it's like,
yep.
you know exactly what she's feeling at all times. And she just has this gift, like, you just want to like her. Like, she's just very likable, because it's kind of like she just seemed cool. And it's wild, because normally, you know how misogynistic wrestling could be. Somebody who looked like that normally don't seem approachable. They're gonna look like her, like, I'm gonna, like, you might fool yourself into thinking, oh, she might be actually be nice to me. And
Yeah,
that works in
I
pro
have a shot
wrestling.
with Tiffany Stratton in this. Like, oh no, I
No,
don't.
Tiffany Stratton, you know you don't have a shot where it's the, we did the whole thing. Like, you might fool yourself and think you have a shot with AJ, while you know you wouldn't have a shot in hell with Maryse. It's always been that type of thing. Like, and Maxxine Dupri looks a certain way, but it's like she's just
Yes.
likable. And yeah, she's been in the gym, because I've seen her a lot. I'm like, that she is built.
Yeah, she's cause what? Oh, I saw her episode of Celtic Warrior Workouts, and the flexibility, obviously, that she brought from dancing for many years is evident. But she's another one where it's just like, oh, well, I'm in a different profession now, and I need to pack on some muscle weight.
And
And
she
she
did.
hasn't like, yeah, she hasn't like ruined her, you know, like she's still very tall and kind of lanky still, but you know, she's
But
added like 10
solid.
pounds of muscle and you're like, ooh,
That's a
jeez.
lot. That's a lot for a woman. Is no, I saw her, I'm like, oh, she looked tough. Like, if she looked away, where it's like, it's not surprising her kind of bullying Ivy Nile, which is wild to think about, because Ivy Nile is basically like all muscle beside her hair. And she was like, I'm a bully you. And it seemed believable.
And it does help, and I do believe the announcers called it out where her height advantage, you know, she's another one
For five
where,
nine.
yeah, like that's it. I'm looking that up right now. I'm like, man, that is another very tall woman.
They got a whole bunch of five. They got a whole bunch of 5'8" to 5'10" girlies.
But yeah, 5'9". Dear
Yes,
Lord.
and she looks it, and like that slow kip up that she does is always awesome, because it's like she could do it fast. Like, she does it slow. Like, people don't realize, like, I do Pilates. That's hard, doing that
Yeah,
slow.
her core control during that is impressive, to say the least.
Yes, like, you have to have a very strong core and a very strong back to do that and not slip like two or three discs. Like, kip ups are easy. They're not difficult to do. They're a lot easier when you just do them quickly. Doing them slow and deliberate is like, dude, I'm like, do people not realize how tough that is? Like, when I see her do that fisherman suplex, I'm like, yes, she has a lot of core strength, and that says a lot. Like, core strength when you tall is a cheat code, because you have a lot more core that you have to strengthen up.
Yeah, I mean, I do believe that's one of those things that Taz kind of talks about a lot on AEW. I know he hasn't been on, but he's like, hey, it always helps to have the lower base. You know, it's easier to toss people around
Yeah,
sometimes.
your fire hydrant is like that weight is centered. physics are on your side with certain body types. And the fact that she like they had a very good match. And it's like just her being like she looks like a cheerleader and she just walk around like a like Minoru Suzuki is just insane. And somehow it works, and everybody's like they treat her, and it's funny where she won the title, and then everybody's like, oh, I'm gonna challenge her because she a lightweight, and it's like I'm trained by a devil from Canada. I'm gonna show y'all something. Like they did a reverse where she started the training and she won a title, and then she upped her training. So now it's like you sleep on Maxine Dupri to your peril, because like she will beat you up and then smile.
Yeah, I like it's almost a better version of what they did in NXT with JC Jane, where I feel like they kind of invented the she can't wrestle part of things. I know that she was definitely undervalued in that situation, but Maxine, like you said, like they had this genuine progression with her, and yeah, like after beating Ivy Nile, it feels like she kind of has something going on here, and it definitely feels like she needs a couple more wins before she
Yeah,
gets
she.
like a real, like kind of like that first big challenge of
Oh yeah,
her
she gonna get. Yeah,
separation.
you know what that big challenge gonna be? It's gonna be Natty. Natty's gonna like, all right, let's basically it's gonna be like a kung fu movie. Let's see what you really got.
Oh, I hope they do a dub over and
Oh,
really
but
go kung fu on us.
I wish I had did the show with you a few weeks ago, because it's something I noticed watching. Like I hadn't watched WWE as much, but I've been picking back up watching and then watching AEW. Yeah, the whole women thing is no longer an NXT thing. Like we are reaching a point where we might have to acknowledge that, like at least in WWE, it's a women's based company as far as like the amount of attention, like quality of the show, as far as they put. I remember watching one show and it was like four or five different women's segments. And it just and they all of them were good. It started with women, and the main event was women, and it just felt great. And the men was just boring. I was like, it just felt normal. And
Yeah, the women on the main roster, it's kind of interesting that the tag division, the women's tag
yes,
division,
I was
like
gonna bring
they
that up.
decided to the WWE's like, hey, like we have all these stars and they don't have anything to do in the women's division, so let's throw them into tag teams with other people. Some of them are stars, some of them are just good
But
complementary
I'm
pieces.
like, dude, they had six teams. I'm like, almost everybody on every team was a former world champion, either on NXT or WWE. Except for like I think the only one that wasn't was like Lash Legend. Everybody else has been a champion as far as the tag. Like I'm like, so you got Asuka and Kairi, and then you got Io and Rhea. You got Charlotte and Alexa. You got Bayley and Lyra, and then you got Lash Legend and Nia Jax. And who was the other team? I feel like I was missing one. I think it was the five or six.
I think that might be it.
Yeah, it might be. And I'm like,
But
wow, when did they
still, I mean,
decide?
that's a
Like, when?
lot.
Yeah, and I'm like, when did they decide? Like, oh, we just gonna have everybody wrestle for the tag titles. Like we gonna make those the flagship. Like we gonna make the story, because like you were having multiple storylines on multiple shows, all toward the tag titles and building toward the tag titles, while still having their own. Oh, and Liv Morgan and like when they was doing Liv
Oh, that
Morgan and
was
Roxanne
nice.
Perez.
Yeah, whatever combination of the Judgment Day they decide to throw together, that's
And
it. I
I'm
was
like,
just going to the WWE roster to
yeah,
see
and
if
I'm
I could
like.
figure it out.
Yes. And I'm like, they really. Oh, he beat the chosen one? Leon Slater beat. He just beat Miles Bourne. Oh.
Oh.
And Joe Henry, so he the number one contender? Oh. Oh yeah. They like Leon Slater. They like Leon Slater.
Oh yeah, Leon Slater is not long for TNA.
Well, at least TNA is like, look, we out here to build you toward the future to go somewhere else. And they're honest about that. And it's like, if there was any doubt, as there shouldn't be. But the fact is, like, yeah, I see Joe Henry there now. And it's like, yes, Leon Slater. Like, if you stay with us for a few years, and you could be wealthy with them, basically.
Yep. Hey, it's a business model. It'll make you money.
Yes, but
Like, they know they're never going to be the number one, so why
they're
not?
fine. Like, we could be the number three. Like,
Yep.
we're making money. People go on our shows. We just got a TV deal. So, wow. So, Oba Femi and Leon Slater. Boy, I'm gonna see some lawn dart action. But no, back to the women's. Like, all those fighting for the tag title. There's all the storylines just over why they're fighting for titles and the different, like, the Judgment Day dynamic is kind of like Liv's comeback. You think you're gonna turn on them? It's like Liv seemed to be cool with the women and kind of looking sideways at the men. Which was unexpected.
Well, she's still looking a little sideways at Raquel, I think, which
Yeah,
is.
like she likes Roxanne, but she's kind of looking sideways at Raquel. But Raquel, it's funny, Raquel's going after the world title. And I figured Liv was going to do that.
And I'll be interested to see where that one ends up developing because, Judgment Day has always been all over the place. It did seem like Roxanne getting kicked out was maybe the easy way to go, or
Listen,
have, like you
except it's
said,
too easy.
live with the main championship and Raquel and Roxanne with the tag championships and just.
But instead, they went the other way. They had, the match that probably pissed off Ice. You had Raquel, Nikki Bella, and Stephanie Brock here on the same ring at the same time. I was like, the fact is, but no, but yeah, it's like you had a different tag team. But like Oscar, whole thing is, look. All you had to do was call me. All you had to do was call me your boss, and we would've been fine. Just acknowledge me as you're better, and I would have brought you back to the family. But nah, you wanted to be selfish, so I gotta keep beating you up. Come on, Kyrie, let's keep beating her up. Like Kyrie's a baby face, pretend like it ain't nothing heelish about her, like at all. Like she just a heel by association. Like I'm still gonna smile and do babyface things. I just happen to be a heel, but I'm not gonna try to pretend to be. Oscar's a dick. But
Oh my gosh. The glee always on Kyrie's face is going to be something that's just going to make me laugh. 'Cause like you said, like it's kind of baseline, like whether she's following Asuka doing something insane or she's a baby face, just like, it's kind of the same.
she says
I
naturally
love her.
happy, and it's just like goofy and just like a really, saying anime characters feel like it's kind of like demeaning to her. But it's like she just walk around just like, I'm gonna have fun regardless of what y'all are doing. She seems like she having a great time. That Io Rios, like y'all just need to kiss or do something. Like Jesus Christ.
Oh.
That's my friend. Now I'm just caressing her face and caressing her hair and hugging. And it's like, oh,
Yeah.
that's her. That's my best. Like I see how they y'all look at each other. Like,
I have compared it to the ambiguously gay duo from Saturday Night Live many moons ago, where it's just like, are they doing something together? Like, I mean, I know that Rhea's really married, but this
and Io's really dating
storyline
somebody. It's like I'm watching them, and I'm like,
is.
I know Rhea has that reputation, like she just flirts with every woman. That ain't flirt. Like I've seen levels of flirt. Like Rhea sees her, and she just start acting like a puppy dog. It's like they caress each other's hair. Io is like, I'm this badass. Where's Rhea so I can hug her? And not just a regular hug. I gotta wrap my entire soul around her. Like I can't go anywhere until my Rhea carries me. Oh, look, Rhea's wearing the boots with the Australian flag and the Japanese flag. Oh, they got matching earrings. Oh, the eyeshadow match. Oh, they gave each other hair. Oh, let me hold your face. Did Asuka beat you up? I will caress you, get away. And I'm just sitting here like, I know what you are. If Triple H was brave, we would have a whole different storyline. But we have to be, oh, her best friend. Yeah, that's what we call. Yeah, that sounds like some stuff like,
That's what we're
oh,
calling it these days.
here's my uncle with his roommate that he's been together with for 30 years. They've never been married. That's his best friend. Like, yeah, I know what they used to call that back in the 50s. Like you go ahead and play in our face if you want, but and it's wild because I see Alexa and Charlotte kind of doing this. I didn't like you, but now I got to play with you here too. And you're not the only one with a friend. It's like they playing off like who has the best tall friend. Like when I see the two interactions with them, it's just like it is hilarious because they
Oh,
like
yeah,
this.
and that's been one that's been kind of interesting just because there's been so much development on the Charlotte Flair side of things in that one where you're just like she's the one that needed to come around. Like Alexa Bliss has had a fun character like her whole career pretty much. Charlotte Flair, it's just like, oh, she's kind of getting the other part of the like it's kind of wild to say that.
They like her.
Obviously, she played a good role, but like, yeah, expanding that role helps a lot.
She basically said, I'm allowing the Ashley part of my life to be more my character. Like I'm allowing more of myself instead of just being Ric Flair's daughter. And it's working. And I think she's just
Yeah.
surprised, like, wow, y'all actually like me. It's like that Tiffany feud did a lot for Charlotte because it's like Tiffany came off as a dickhead. Especially when you do the whole up behind the scenes stuff where it's like, yeah, some of that stuff she said was not scripted. And Charlotte was like, yeah, what does me getting divorced got to do with a match? It's like, I kind of felt bad. I'm like, yeah, because it's like that shit was messy. And then you find the behind the scenes stuff. It was like, it made me feel sympathetic for Charlotte, which I would have never thought I would have said that.
Well, it's also one of those things where I Chris and I ended up running into her in the lobby of the hotel there at WrestleMania, or no, WrestleMania, Royal Rumble there in Indianapolis. And she couldn't have been nicer. And that was before this whole turnaround started, honestly. Like what you're talking about, where she let Ashley out and before the whole Tiffany. Oh, yeah, I guess that was the beginning of the Tiffany stuff, really, because she won the Royal Rumble there.
Yes, so it's definitely work, and also it helps where when she started dressing like one of the members of Destiny's Child, that definitely adds because I'm like, I know like the whole Asian like fine wine is a phrase, but Charlotte, I'm like, yeah, I don't remember Charlotte looking that like Charlotte's looking good for a long time. Like I don't remember Charlotte looking like this. Like she's always been a clothes horse, but since like 2025, I was like, yeah. Sorry, Andrade. Like, I don't know what happened, but if it wouldn't have been me, I would have worked it out. I would have found some type of tranquilo because it's like, I mean, we all been there. Like, sometimes you can't work stuff out, but like, yeah, as they say, as the kids say, Charlotte know how to throw that shit on. Like, so, and then the confidence is like, it works because Charlotte's still kind of an ass. But you could tell she's like working at trying to be better, and Alexis is trying to be like, I know you're gonna get around, I know you're gonna work around it. So, and then Lash and Nia Jax, like, yeah, we used to, like, why don't we just bully them instead of bullying each other? Like,
Oh,
we
yeah,
two big bad bitches, basically.
that's one where you didn't really see that one coming, but it's like this is a weirdly perfect fit here. It feels like they've been trying to team Lash Legend with someone. I don't know why. What is it, Mara Sade now? And I'm trying to
Yeah,
remember what her.
that still felt weird. Like it felt like they were gonna do something with them, and then it's like, well, I guess not. This like she thriving at TNA, so I'm like, I don't. I don't. A lot of those NXT releases during that time frame, almost none of them made any sense. Like. Because it's wild where you thought you were going to up the tag division. You had all these tag teams, and then you fire all these tag teams. And now you decide, like, okay, we're just going to do it with the people that's already here at the expense of the world titles on both shows.
Well, at least the women's no, I Raw's okay because we got the Nikki Bella, Raquel, Stephanie Vaquer one, going on, and
Yeah,
that's
it still feel
gonna
like
last a
background.
while.
Yeah, but it still feel background. Like it feels like it's not the. It feel like it's secondary, and it's wild where like it feels almost. If, look at it this way, they're lucky Becky Lynch still had the IC title, because otherwise the world title would feel like the third most important title on that show. So,
Yeah, fair. That is
yeah, but
fair.
no, Nikki Bella tomorrow, I'm a legend and y'all ain't gonna forget about me. It's just wild, because it's kind of like she is, but nobody kind of like, a lot of people don't look at it like she is technically, but nobody kind of look at it that way. But the fact is, like, she in her 40s looking like that, wrestling like that, like that's amazing. Like,
Yeah, she looks great. Well, and she's another one where, kind of like Randy Orton, in a lot of ways to me. Like, I feel like her wrestling style when she changed to the Nikki Strong style,
Nikki Sauer.
it just was less stress on her body and on anyone's body, honestly. And it's just like it still looks believable, still looks good. I think that type of offense just ages better.
Yes, like, and she has the believability, and it's kind of like I watched that Survivor Series match, and Nikki Bella came out, and my first thought was like, Jesus. Like, I saw Nikki Bella, I was like, yeah, you've been working out. Because people don't realize,
Oh.
like, you normally don't get in better shape in your 40s when you've been an athlete your entire life. Normally, you like, y'all here maintaining, or you might have to bounce back. Nikki Bella never been in bad shape, but Nikki Bella never looked like I was looking at her, I was like, it take a lot where it's kind of like, oh yeah, Stephanie Braquel is there too. And Nikki Bella kind of pulled it off. And adding Raquel is good, because Raquel was like, you still doing this? And I saw that lump on her head, I was like,
Oh my God,
ouch,
yeah.
that's some Looney Tunes shit. Like, she really hit her.
Yeah, that was one of the few things I saw on the Twitter today, and I'm just like, oh boy. Like, hey, I love it. Like, it's one of those happy accidents where it's just like, sorry that you have a giant bruise on your forehead. And like you said, like that is like you got hit by a giant hammer sized like welt that is on there. And yeah, it'll help out. It will help the feud, and it's
And it's like,
hey, why not?
have something for them to do. Meanwhile, on SmackDown, Jade Cargo just gonna bully everybody and then talk trash, which I'm perfectly fine with, while they're trying to kill time for Bianca Belair to come out. But her just walking around looking like Storm, and just choke slamming the shit out of people, and then talking trash like, you better get the fuck out of my face, or you gonna get it too. It's just, I know people something. Oh, this have her do the same thing she's doing in AEW. I'm like, it's working. Like, you can have her have it, because who else she gonna wrestle? Like, all the other women on SmackDown are preoccupied in tag matches, so it ain't a whole bunch of women right now. They don't really need to run it back with Tiffany Stratton like anytime soon. Like, they can save that for the Royal Rumble. So in the meantime, have her be a, like, it's not like it's not believed. Like, Jade Cargill looks like a superhero in real life, so it ain't that hard to believe that she could do that to Mee Chin and B-Fab. Because, like, do y'all see what Jade Cargill looks like?
Yeah, I hope so. There are times where I question people's vision, just even in the most plainest of senses. And oh my gosh, yeah, like
Yeah.
amongst a lot of cartoon characters, at this point, Jade
Yeah.
Cargill is like the cartoon
There
character.
ain't like WWE, especially like women's wrestling, especially lately, had a lot of beautiful women that stand out. I ain't never seen nobody look like Jade Cargill. Like, the look, the fitness level, I'm like, she looks like she would have been on Xena. Like, and I'm like, yeah, I'm like, boy, Brandon Phillips, ML, it's good to good. Gold, look, that gold glove
Cincinnati
snatched, that
Reds,
gold glove
baby.
snatched, yeah, that gold glove snatched her up. And I was like, kudos to you. But no, I see, it's just a wild thing, because I watched that and I just watched NXT, and they talking about they're going to bring up more people from NXT to upgrade SmackDown when SmackDown comes in 3 hours. It's like, they could take like three or four women from NXT and keep it moving. Like, you can move Jordan, Soul, and Lola Vice right now, and NXT will be just fine.
Yeah, and that is the other wild thing where, NXT is still just going, hey, like, we need to loan you out to AAA. We need to loan you out to NOAH, like, for all these different people. And it's just like, yeah, they have the capacity to lose some
Yeah.
people and still keep on chugging.
I forgot Hank and Tate were in Noah. And I, oh, that's cause I like I hadn't seen them in a while. Like, oh, they were in Japan for like a couple months getting over.
Yeah. I love that perspective from the WWE, where it's just like, hey, yeah, like we realized that there was a hole in our system here.
So
You
let's
know, where it's
go.
just like, as much as we want to train them and have them do certain things, like you just need experience in front of a crowd and different crowds sometimes. And it's
So
just like,
they
hey,
outsource. Yeah, go
yeah,
to
they're just
T,
outsourcing. Like
go to
it's
TA, go
smart.
to T, like you said, go to TNA, go to AAA, go to Japan. It works, and it's kind of like they get more reps in, they get more experience in, and then they can brag about when they come back. And it's just like we just live in a world where you can just. Like, AAA used to make fun, like, I have a dream of the WWE wrestling tree covering the world and different organizations, like, and people was making fun of him, and he kind of did like, low key, to the fact where we just, like, Leon Slater's the number one contender for the NXT title. He does not work for WWE. And he was on set. He was on SmackDown. He's on Saturday Night's Main Event. Like, there you. It's not just a whole a TNA guy on NXT. It's a TNA guy on WWE TV. Like, they see something in him, and they're just using it. And it's kind of like Lola Vice going to Mexico. Like, the best thing for her because she got super over there, and she get more experience. Even though it's like she, they work. She. The funny thing is. She doesn't have as many matches last year because last year she wrestled almost every. It's like she wrestled almost every damn week. I think she had like the second or third most matches in WWE last year, like main roster or otherwise, because like they worked her like a damn dog. And now it's like, oh, you want to wrestle? Like basically, you want to show up on NXT, then go to AAA on a Thursday, then come back Saturday for NXT PLE. She's like, I get to work in. I get the reps in, like, so there, because it's kind of like, even if you remove people, NXT has so many people, it's not enough spots for everybody. And it's still not enough spots for everybody. It's like, Kali Armstrong had that Evolve title and vanished because they don't have anything to do with her.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, I mean, they keep on bringing in LFG people. Yeah, like they have their own ways of bringing people into NXT even itself, and it's just like, yeah, like you said, like a few of these people from NXT could, especially in the women's division, could use to be pulled up to start, because yeah, like I went as much as in some ways I'm not looking forward to the 3 hours, since I record it anyway and watch it back, it'll probably be fine. And they legitimately have enough people to cover that extra hour.
Yeah, the people like, and it's like the biggest issue with them is like, y'all need to get rid of Road Dogg. Yeah, that's the problem. Yes, I know that's your
He's
friend
still.
Hunter, but it's like it ain't working. Like SmackDown kind of went on a downturn as soon as he got in charge, and it's like that don't seem like an accident because people used to brag about SmackDown now, and they don't brag about SmackDown anymore. And it's funny where SmackDown was the A show, and people used to make fun of Raw, and now Raw is. No doubt the A show and SmackDown need to get this stuff working. So,
Yeah, it's kind of wild. Like, I feel like over vast swaths of Stunt Granny, SmackDown's been the better show,
yeah,
but Raw definitely is
because they moved
right
all the
now.
they like you gotta keep in mind, they moved Roman and LA Knight and a whole bunch of other people from SmackDown to Raw and didn't really replace them on SmackDown. And then it was just kind of like, yeah, all the cool people on Raw. It seemed like SmackDown was, co and then co and then Randy Orton worked half the year. Shinsuke worked about 2 months. Cody's missed time. It's like they had a lot of people that missed time, and all the other people went to Raw. So yeah, that's what happened. That happened. So yeah,
Yeah,
they can move
sometimes you
people.
can't always blame the booker of the
Yes,
show.
but the Booker also hasn't helped. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
But it's just wild where I think about like the NXT women's like Kendall Gray been there what 6 months, a year, and now it's like they already know it's like yeah, they calling her Kurt Angle Jr. So I know what that push looks like because that's a lot. Because Carly Armstrong was awesome. The fact that it was like Yeah, you awesome, but we got this person that's a little bit more awesome, so you're just gonna have to wait your turn. And I don't even feel bad about it because it's like Kendall Gray is like, yeah, I know a natural when I see one.
Oh, well, and it's even one of those things too, where in a similar vein, like you're talking about, oh, you got to kind of wait your turn. Zarya has been one where she was on, no, she wasn't on Saturday Night's Main Event, was she? Or
Yeah, she was
did,
there in the yeah, she was there in the
okay,
corner. She was there in Sol Ruka's corner.
okay, yeah, like, hey, has she had to wait a little bit longer than expected? Yeah, but I feel like they're finally getting the personality and getting her over. Like, yeah, it's some of it's just like, hey guys, like not everyone's gonna hit like right off the bat. And like you said, like that Callie Armstrong is just like, oh my gosh, like you're too impressive not to hit at some point.
Yeah.
Like as long as you
You avoid, as long as you
keep at
avoid
your
injury.
job. Yeah.
But it's kind of like Zarya's biggest thing wasn't time, it was timing. Like she came right around the same
Oh.
time that Stephanie Brocare, Julia, and Jordynne Grace came. Like that
Yeah,
sucked.
and they were still trying to push people like Sol Ruka and Kalani
Yeah, and you
Jordan
still had
and, you know,
Roxanne
like,
Perez and them there. It's like
yeah. Ooh.
If only two of them came, because it's like we just forgot about that. Basically, like in 3 weeks, they got all four of them at the
Yeah.
same damn time. And it's kind of like, yeah, that created a bad log jam for a while. But they kind of fixed that now. So it's like JC Jane can do her Shane Douglas thing, and it's just, and it works. But even then, it still feel like it's like they kind of worked out the hierarchy of NXT, but it still feel like they got a lot of people. Like, cause like Carmen Petrovic got to work on Evolve, cause like they don't have anything to do. Like she's awesome, but they don't have anything for her.
Yeah, her what? Nikita Lyons has gotten banished to
Oh,
Evolve.
she is a hoot on there. Like that's a perfect. Her and Evolve is that's just a perfect show for her, cause she just camps it up to 1,000. And for what like Evolve that like NXT that doesn't work. Evolve that's perfect. So I don't know if that will. She seemed like the type that she would do better on the main roster than NXT.
Hey,
Best based on
but yeah,
personality wise.
I feel like that has been a thing before, so
Yeah,
it
like
wouldn't
certain people fit
surprise me.
NXT that doesn't will fit the main roster, and certain people I feel like will fit the main roster better than NXT, and some people fit well on both. But it's kind of like, you find your balance and you figure it out. So, but yeah, no, SmackDown's basically kind of like the elephant in the room is when Bianca Belair fought, get an Iron Man finger and come back.
Oh,
That'll solve a lot of problems because it's kind of
that
like.
is still just like I can't believe how much of this year any of the podcasts that we've done for the website we've talked about Bianca Belair and this goddamn finger. Like it's been like 9 months. Like it
Yeah.
is wild that she actually got to the point where she's like, I'm not sure when this is gonna get right, and it's just like,
Yeah.
huh?
She said
Like,
it healed wrong, and then I think she had to get surgery again to re-break it or something. So, because people was wondering like, is she pregnant? She's like, no. It's like, trust me, I know how finger injuries like people kind of brush off finger injuries. I remember I sprained a finger, and no lie. I couldn't move it correctly for like a year and a half, and I had pain for like 4 years.
oof.
It was just a sprain. I didn't even break it; it was a sprain. If I touched it wrong for 4 damn years, I had a pain in my finger, and then one day I realized it didn't hurt anymore. I was kind of like, and I didn't even break mine. So, but people was kind of like, "Oh, what did she? Did it fall off or what happened?" Because you think a finger injury, like 2 months.
Anything that to me it's kind of it's maybe a little too rudimentary, but I fractured a wrist, and it's just like, hey, bones heal at a certain rate. You're not quite sure what's going to happen if it's a soft tissue injury, and you're just like, wow, she broke her finger. Like whatever, like it's going to heal up and everything's going to be fine. And it's just like, no, evidently that is not the case.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin, not famously not a doctor.
I am a doctor. Even now, it's kind of like it must have been some nerve damage, or it must have been like a compound fracture. But even then, it's kind of like people came back from ACLs faster than this.
Yeah, that I guess that is the wild thing about it. It's just like, man, yeah, like we are encountering that territory for her because like
Like,
she popped back up on TV like, "Hey, I'm gonna be the ref. I'm just gonna have my hand in the splint." And you're
yeah.
like, "Oh, okay, great. She's gonna be back in like a month tops."
And
And
she's
then
still out.
she's
Yeah,
been
we
gone
think.
like another 4 months.
Yeah, like she wasn't even on Evolution. Like Liv Morgan threw out her whole shoulder after that and came back before Bianca did. And I'm like, yeah, I just hope she's back for the Royal Rumble. People assume she'll be back for the Rumble. I'm like, I hope. I don't want to assume nothing at this point with that type of injury. But this is wild. Like her coming back would just solve a lot of, would fix a lot of problems.
Yeah, well, and just also kind of goes to what we were talking about. Like, they have been the WWE's remarkably adaptable, given that one of their top stars is just gone for
Yeah.
most of this year in
And
the
the
women's
one that
division.
they had kind of took her spot, got over and then got pregnant.
Oh.
It's like, yeah, that happened too. But it's kind of like
Yeah.
Liv, Naomi, Bianca, for all different reasons, were just out and they just kept it moving. So that's what happened when you have a zillion women. It's like, oh yeah, Becky Lynch. Oh, I want to talk about Becky Lynch before I talk about WWE. And you go, yeah, Becky Lynch, Hall of Fame, Mount Rushmore. That I don't know how long it took for people to get it. Her doing that Trump impersonation, it just has me, because I don't know people how long it took for people to realize what she was doing. Because it took me a while for that. I'm like, wait a second, she kind of talking and tweeting like that seemed familiar. I'm like, oh, I know who that is. And then she did that whole thing about the one right before War Games. Oh, such and such, you got big, strong bones. I was like, yes, I like, I'm the best. I just didn't say it. Sports Illustrated says
Illustrated
it.
said it.
It's
Kills
like
me.
it
My
is.
it's my hot husband. I don't just say it's sports. Like I love how Sports Illustrated backed everything up now.
Bleacher Report
Bleacher
said it
Report.
too. And it's like, if there was any doubt that she's one of the best women of all time, this current run she's on eliminated that. Because it's like, she's just an awesome chicken shit heel. Like she has no issue just looking ridiculous. Like she sounds ridiculous, and it's just so damn hilarious. And it's like, I know she a heel. I can't boo. Like she's just so damn entertaining. Like she acts like a heel, but she just so damn entertaining. I can just imagine how that between her and Seth, that household. What? Because I didn't know she had it in her. Like I knew she could be a heel, and I know she did the whole like it's she
Yeah,
worked. She turned from
it's a
Steve
different
Austin
type
to,
of heel
yeah,
than
like
she's
she
been
turned from
before.
Stone Cold Steve Austin to Ric Flair, old man Ric Flair, like 2000 era Ric Flair. Like I'm this insane lunatic heel. That sometimes, but somehow beloved. It's like I just had such a kick just hearing her tweet and everything. Like, I'm not coming back today. Apologize. This shit was rigged. Like, and the fact that she's doing that in that company, knowing who Triple H's mother-in-law is just hell. Like, she is playing. I wonder if they gotta know. Like, I just wonder.
How can you like that was one where just because I don't hop online as much as I had previously, I know that I didn't catch on to what she was doing, but at some point somewhere along the line, like the Stunt Granny account got it as a notification. I'm just like, oh, okay. Like I put everything together and I'm like, okay, yeah, it was like the fourth time she had posted something. I'm like, oh,
I'm like,
okay.
and then it's all caps, and it's like, it just sound like this lunatic stream of consciousness. I'm like, this is just genius. 'Cause like it sounds just like him, and it's in that company, and it's like, I just eat it up. But speaking of eating up stuff, and speaking of tag teams and women, look like AEW got on that train too. It's like, if we can do. And it's like, I know people talk about the amount of titles they have, but like, they need a women's tag. They need a women's titles because they have so many women that didn't have anything to do. And but they did the same thing. Let's have all the top women just go after the tag titles.
Well, I did like the fact that to me, two of the more underutilized women, well, at least one of them in Willow, won the championship. Harley Cameron's still pretty new to the position, but also one of the people that needed TV time, and that's a great way to
Yes.
give her TV time.
One Willow is just like she's just amazing. Like she just has this one, she's beautiful. She just has this great energy and she can wrestle her ass off. And it's like the crowd always loves her. There's never a dull moment with her. Like she just has, she can play it. I'm cuddly and friendly. She could play like I will beat your ass and still smile. Like she can go up and down as far as personality wise, and it always feels authentic. And it's like some people just like she got it. If AEW smart, they will never let her out the damn building. Like sign her to a lifetime contract. Do not let her even think about. They don't even let her think about leaving. Like you got something. Harley Cameron too talented for professional wrestling. Is always when I think about her. I'm like, I'm glad she wrestled. I'm like, you could be making money doing whatever you want. Why are you wrestling?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, her multi-talented self. It's just like, yeah, like you said, like it feels like, isn't there something else you could be doing here? Like
Yeah. I feel the
this
same way
doesn't
about her.
make
I
any
feel about
sense.
Xavier Woods. Like, I know you love wrestling, but why? You're a genius and you got multiple skills. Like, that's how you know somebody really like wrestling. It's like, yeah, I could do whatever I want to do. I'm choosing professional wrestling. And the funny thing is, she wanted to go to WWE originally. And they was like, they probably won't use you well based on your experience level. So I don't think you'll go there. And they probably had a point when she first started. I remember when she first started, I thought, oh, it's just another blonde woman. They had like, that's what, back when they had like eight of them. And then they just let more of her personality come out. I'm like, oh, so she can sing. Oh, so she can play the guitar. Oh, so she's a half decent, she's a pretty decent ventriloquist. Oh, and she looks like that. Oh, okay. So she wrestling? I guess. I'm like, I take it because they make a great tag team, and I'm glad, you know, I wouldn't have been mad if Toni Storm and Mina Shirai come, aka the only tag team that's more lesbian than Rio. I'm not gonna let you beat up my husband, Toni Storm. Yeah.
That one I would not even categorize in ambiguously gay. I
It ain't
would
nothing. It ain't nothing ambiguous about those two, especially Toni Storm. Like, yeah, Toni Storm. We already talked about how awesome she is, and like the fact that you have thought people got tired of this gimmick and they have not says a lot. Because that I thought that gimmick had a shelf life, and she's like, no, I got preservatives in this shit. Like, it ain't going away anytime. Like, and she just adds to it and everything. And basically, a tag team, the women that we both love left us, so we decided to love each other. Is how that work, and it just works. And Mina Shirakawa is just, boy, she's somebody like I love America. Like I can tell. I was like, cause she came over here, she's eating well, she's smiling, she has like she has. It's funny, like she looks the way she looks. You wouldn't think she wrestles the way she wrestles. Like she just looks like a pinup model. And then she gonna kick you in the face and throw the figure four on you.
It's one that I haven't officially kept track of it. I'm still shocked at the number of women that use headbutts these days. Like almost no, like Drew McIntyre is like one of the few guys that uses the Glasgow Kiss on like a regular basis. Mina Shirakawa throws a headbutt. Toni Storm does.
Queen Aminata.
Like especially the AEW women, but I mean the WWE women
Rhea,
aren't immune to it either, so.
toss one out every now and then. Yeah, it's just wild. It's like, why are these women out here wrestling like these death, especially AEW, they wrestling these death matches. And I'm like, I know Vince would be rolling his gray. I'm like, people be wall. I know people kind of wallflower come like, I don't see the women doing like that. The women like, fuck all that. Like, we gonna show y'all what a death. We gonna like somebody that gives birth knows what pain is. So it's like, you ain't gotta worry about us. Worry about y'all. And they be out here getting it. And I'm like, I know Liv Morgan is just mad. She's like, I wish I could do that, but they wouldn't let me. You remember Liv was like, I wanted Ronda Rousey to put me in the STF with barbed wire, but they wouldn't let me do it because they pussies. Back when she was doing
yeah,
her, back when she was doing her ECW run for a few months, like, I'm gonna show y'all I'm insane. Like, I'm really Harley Quinn.
man, she would love AEW. Like, she'd be like John Moxley over there. Like, she would get to take in all of those evil thoughts that are floating in her head that the
Man,
WWE won't let her through with.
I was watching a Moxley. I think Moxley was watching Claudio, and I blinked. Like, I was on my phone, and in 2 minutes, I'm like, wait, why is Moxley's whole body red? When did that, like, it was like 4 minutes of the match. I'm like, I thought that was just like a Twitter thing. Like, y'all was joking. I'm like, he just bleed all the time? Like, it's.
Yeah, I mean, it is half joke, half serious because it does happen that frequently. Like, it's just like, is there a Jon Moxley match this year he has not bled in? Like, intentional or not, like, sometimes I feel like it's unintentional. Like, that might have been an unintentional time.
It felt like it, but no, the women is like, they had, I like that, they had different teams with different styles. It's a shame. Like, the Marina Shafir, Megan Bain team is just funny because kind of like our partners got hurt. I guess we kind of like each other because we both evil and big. So, like, it's not like they were friendly, but they were like kind of like respectful. And it was just
Yeah.
wild. It just works somehow. Cause yeah, Megan Bain's a monster, and Marina Shafir just looked like she wanna choke people all the damn time with those jeans on.
She's another one where it's just like, this is, time is doing something in a positive way.
Yes. For both, like, especially Marina Shafir, I'm like, yeah, she looked, the older she gets, the better she looks. And
Yeah.
it's. But no, I'm like,
Wild.
I enjoyed it. Like, I definitely enjoy the women's division AEW a lot more because, like, the matches always seem like they always have some stakes. Those women be laying down, especially when it's Tekla and Aminata. Like, yeah, Aminata need to come back and, so they can finish that feud because, yeah. Somebody made a joke, like, Aminata wrestles like people told her wrestling is real.
Hey, she's one that I pointed out to my wife. I'm like, we saw her on the indies. I've kind of liked her since then, and I continue to like her now.
Yeah, like,
Like, I hope her neck injury heals up and she can get back at it.
she's like, what you talking about wrestling fake? It ain't fake to me. I'm a show. Like, I just laugh on, I just love on Twitter because she brags about two things: beating people up and loving women. That's her thing on Twitter. She's like, she's like, I make no qualms about either one of those situations. Like, that is her thing. So it's. And then we can end with the sad spiral of the Mercedes Moné. Yeah, the more titles she lose, the more unhinged she's gonna become. Like, so I don't know why.
I might actually enjoy this part of it. The belt collector part of it has not been terribly enjoyable to for me. Her unraveling, it has a lot of comic possibilities involved in it.
It's, I don't, us, the whole storyline has always been humorous to me because people just seem to have this issue like, what's the point of her doing that? I'm like, the point of her doing that was two part. One, to put attention to all these organizations that nobody ever heard of. And two, seeing her spiral when she lose all of them. Did people think she wasn't gonna lose them? I'm like, she wanted them to lose them. And all the bookers like, oh yeah, we double and triple our ticket sales because of Mercedes Moné. And fans like, well, yeah, but I'm like, yeah, but nothing. It's like, say people have the strong opinion of her, and I know the reason why, but it's like, People pay money to see her, and she wrestles her ass off. Like, she is one of the best women wrestlers of all time as far as ring skills. People just feel a certain way because she has a way of like evicting strong emotions. And also, she has kind of like a very acerbic way about her, but that's on purpose. It feels like it's like self-defensive because it seemed like this whole I gotta protect myself because y'all keep trying to tear me down. Because, like, when you see her with the cameras off, she seemed very like soft-spoken and like I need to find my identity. The whole Mercedes thing feel like the armor, and she's real good at pissing people off, and she knows she pisses people off, and she kind of leans into that. But just her, like, I was watching those clips of ROH match, and when she lost, I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. Like, that was just surprising. And her just crashing out on AEW after that is just funny because the whole storyline is she wins every title except for the one that she wants. She can't win the main title.
And then that's probably less of a failing on her part and more of a Tony Khan problem, where they've started to emphasize that recently, but I feel like it, putting more emphasis on that is the way to go at this point.
I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, because like first you thought maybe it's a Toni Storm thing, but then the same thing happened with Chris Statlander, so it might be that title is the one you can't have. And it's like, yeah, Chris Statlander. As Toni Storm would say, what a woman. Like, I'm glad to see her on top, and it's I was surprised that they put her back on top. It was like it fit because she looked the part. Like, she can beat up anybody she wanna beat up if she need to.
Like, that's one where I didn't like it because it felt like it was out of the blue that she won the title, but they're running with it now, and that'll make things a lot better for everyone involved, you know, like.
Her versus Willow Nightingale for the title is gonna feed some families. 'Cause I remember that death match they had, and they was fighting it. Like, they two got some weird energy. They got some weird energy too. Like, do we want to fight or kiss? Like, or fight then kiss or kiss then fight? It's a lot of that going on in women's wrestling. So, but
I
I'm
wonder
not
why
gonna.
it's popular.
I'm not gonna complain, but it's just funny where, and it's, it don't even feel like it's exploitative. But titillated, it just feel like the women having like they kind of like we know the audience, we having fun with it, and because
Oh, yeah.
I know Rhea is because people talk about, oh, she married to Buddy Murphy. I'm like, yeah. I also know what tweets she be retweeting. All those tweets getting them together as couples, and I see a Rhea like it's on my timeline because she retweeted. And then when I see Io Sky be posting something with like some love song, like some R&B love song to my her girl Rhea, it's like, yeah, it ain't the fans that's pushing this. Like, they are definitely like they know what they're doing. Like, these women are not dumb, and they probably having a good old time just playing into it and just working on both sides. And we can end talking about good old Samoa. Like, remember people making fun of WWE for having old champions? Yeah, who's the champ in AEW? Hangman's thing about to retire soon.
That's one where I love Samoa Joe. Not quite sure what the point of this title reign is. Like, I feel like you can have those thoughts simultaneously.
Yes, but it's kind of like I don't have an issue with Samoa Joe being champion because like Samoa Joe is a believable champion, and I've always like my favorite AEW wrestler John Moxley because like I've learned that I enjoy grown men world champions, and John Moxley always feel like a grown ass man that happened to have the belt, and Samoa Joe does too. Like, he feel like a grown ass bully that had the belt, and it's kind of like, although it's like he feel like he got one foot in the door, like I'm getting old. And I kind of got a Hollywood career that I'm kind of doing well in, so I don't really need this wrestling thing. Like, it's wild. We're like between the voiceovers and Twisted Metal, like, Joe doing fine.
It's pretty interesting what
Yeah,
the
like, it's just funny how.
I think that was the other reason why it's surprising. Like, the man had just come back from Twisted Metal season two, and it's just like, I'm assuming there's a season three. Like,
oh,
it seems pretty popular.
With the ratings they get and the popularity they get, like, I'm sure they're going to have a season three. It's just, like, as long as Anthony Mackie feel like doing it, like, they're going to do it. And it's just wild where it's like, yeah, Samoa, like, you don't think about, like, when wrestlers, you don't think about being a big deal, become a big deal. Like, I remember Alexa Bliss was doing an anime voiceover for, like, some popular anime, and I was like, when that happened? How did that happen? Like, and she was like, I'm like, she's good at this. And we just reached a thing where it's like, yeah, you basically, you get good at wrestling, you can make money in entertainment. That's the point we reached at. And they kind of like, and it's not just a WWE thing, it's an AEW thing too. Like, and it seemed like it's more.
Oh, look at how much MJF has been gone this year.
Yeah, it's like, I forgot about that. Yeah, like, he do keep popping up in movies, so.
he was the star of Happy Gilmore, too.
I was like.
Or whatever he called himself.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like, I forgot all about that. Because I'm like, I hadn't seen MJF in a while. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, he's been working, doing other stuff.
Like, yeah, he's doing okay for himself, too.
And it helps that both companies kind of have this thing where we want you to have family time. If you want off time, you can have it. Like, we want you to take care of yourself so you can last longer. And that helps because, like, one, they got enough, like, both companies got enough people like, you can take a few months off. It'll be all right.
The depth in wrestling as a general whole has not been better.
Yeah, because I think part of it is, one, you have a very large talent of younger wrestlers coming up. And two, the older wrestlers, like, people make fun, like, why you got this old people? Like, they taking better care of themselves, both the men and the women. It's like, yeah, you got a lot more wrestlers in their 40s. It's like, they not wrestling bad. It's like, I ain't going to call Bobby Lashley old. You see what Bobby Lashley look like? You see what Shelton Benjamin and Claudio look like? Like, they can still go. Like, what difference the age make? It's like, Nikki Bella in her 40s. Do she look like she in her 40s? Does Bailey look like she almost 40? Or Charlotte? Or Becky? Is like, or Nia? Like, they don't wrestle like they about to fall apart. So it's like, they take better care of themselves. The nutrition's better. The schedule's better. It's like, if they can go, they just will do. Go home?
Yeah, well, I mean, you kind of see it across all sports now, honestly. Like, that age getting pushed back a little bit. And I feel like we've talked about it, but now there's a 42-year-old quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Phillip Rivers evidently back and had game at the age.
I would not go that far as far as a good game. He came back and had a game. Like, I'm glad that he was functional. But all these people see, that's back with quarterbacks with gods. And now I'm like, y'all need to relax with that. Kudos for him for coming back and not falling apart to a million pieces. But I was like, he was the Seahawks should have been ashamed of themselves, because I was watching that game. I was like, they must have felt like seeing a knuckleballer for the first time, because I'm like, how are those passes getting there? There is not no zip in that ball. But it's like, you know,
I did not watch any. So
I watched. It was kind of like, it was a whole bunch of, you know, I'm using a whole bunch of smoke and mirrors. to do something. So, but I don't want to hear this whole Matt Ronsimo. Well, maybe I could do it too. No, you can't. Like, that's the one thing I disliked about the Phillip Rivers thing. It had nothing with Phillip Rivers. It's this one, it's the back in my day nonsense talking to these old timers. Like, I know Tom Brady was looking at that screen like the Green Goblin mask talking to him. Like, you got one last run, you coward.
I would have to think that he's got to be happy with the money he's raking in from Fox, right?
But also, it's kind of like, he was making a lot of money and he chose his career over his wife to come back one last year when he was already the greatest of all time. He already had rings and he's still like, that wasn't enough. So sometimes it don't have nothing to do with the money. It's like, they're just calling you. But I'm kind of like, it's all fun and games. So you get hit by Myles Garrett. Then you gonna remember why you was retired.
Trust me, there's a reason why I'm just sitting here just biding my time until the NFL draft in Pittsburgh when they pick a quarterback. because Aaron Rodgers, every time it's just like, nah, dog, I'm 42. Like, that's the one thing. At least in wrestling, you can protect yourself, and there's not that much wear and tear in the body. You don't have to worry about, oh, Myles Garrett actually hitting you.
Yes, like he's 42 and he looks 42. And
Yeah.
he looked like an angry old man just ready to bust. I'm just ready to ship up. And go back to my mysterious wife that no one has seen. Yeah. Okay, he married, but no one knows who the woman is. There's no pictures of her. And people talking about, is he really married? Like, because you never like this is a wild thing, is it's kind of like the fact that you asking is just insane, but it's like you never know with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh,
But
yep.
back,
As long as he's doing his job, I don't care
but
currently.
back to wrestling old people. I guess we can wrap up with this whole. Okay, are you have any interest in seeing Chris Jericho retirement tour?
Okay. I will admit that I was like, the man needed some time off. Okay, he's finally taken some time off. Like, he had not worked that much of a schedule since like the early aughts or something wild like that. I'd have to look it up to find out, 'cause like, I mean, the guy had time off for the band, for Fozzy and whatnot, and his run in AEW was almost completely solid from the time that he was in there. But I don't know, man, like he wasn't good in the ring. Just
No.
so like I don't have any real desire for him to be back. Like, I know that the WWE rumors have been out there. I'm like, I know, guys, like I don't really want it. Like, it's I
Doom,
it
doom, 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 doom.
Yeah, if it just feels like the well has been run dry with whatever that man can do at this point, and hey, maybe the people that didn't watch AEW
Yes,
will eat it
you
up.
don't want to break the walls down one last time.
Well, there's a difference between whether I want to and whether A, the WWE wants to, and B, whether they think that they're going to make money off of it.
it's a weird thing because Chris Jericho has a very weird legacy in wrestling where he is obviously a big deal. Like he is a huge deal. He has a very large fan base, and it's kind of like he's one of the most accomplished wrestlers of all time, but you got to kind of step back and remember that because it's just been a like I think it's for a long time people just think about this old man is still trying to pretend he's 27. It's kind of like pissed on the fact where it's like I think his biggest issue is his career hasn't aged gracefully, so it kind of sour people that kind of like sour his entire career, which is unfair because like that man basically been wrestling what the late 80s.
Okay, so I did 1990 was when he started wrestling.
I guess with people actually watching shows, he's probably training like so 90s. So we're talking about four
Yeah.
decades,
Yeah,
and
35 years man's
like
been around,
his
and
only
he's
other contemporary that's still wrestling is Rey Mysterio, and Rey Mysterio is a mutant. So, but Rey Mysterio is treated like a lead. Like it's wild that Rey Mysterio is a Hall of Famer still wrestling. I mean, it's no big deal, but like Rey Mysterio still more or less wrestles like Rey Mysterio. Like he's probably like 75% of young Rey Mysterio. But the fact that he's like Rey Mysterio contemporaries on couches, they're doing podcasts. Like he don't have any peers. Chris Jericho does not wrestle in a way that's like people want to see more of him. And that's the problem. Like, yeah, you're gonna have him coming there. It's gonna be like Goldberg, but it's like Goldberg could get by doing a 30 seconds of nonsense. Cause like that's all people want to see. Spear, jackhammer, spit, pin. You can do that with Goldberg. Like, what is a Chris Jericho match in WWE? Like, you get Chris Jericho in a ring with Carmelo Hayes. What that gonna look like?
Oh yeah, well, and we've kind of already seen it, like him trying to compete with,
Daniel Garcia and all of them. It's
I hate
like
to say Daniel Garcia, but Daniel Garcia.
it's kind of like We like you ain't got it no more, baby. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Like,
Honestly, we were just talking about it earlier in the show. Nikki Bella changed her move set, and it's just like, hey, this is gonna age a little bit better.
yeah.
Chris Jericho's move set was still based on movement and being quick and agile,
Yeah,
and
he has none
it's
of
all
that.
stuff that does not age well.
Yes, like,
Brock Lesnar, man, ages well. He just
yeah.
tosses people around.
See,
Like, it's not hard.
bigger, like power base and technique base tends to age well because you always got the power. I mean, as long as you look like you big, you can always be a big man, more or less. And technique is kind of like you throw a shirt on, as long as your technique good. Like, kind of like if Randy Orton wanted, Randy Orton could wrestle 10 more years if he wanted to. All you got is wear a t-shirt on. Like, the fundamentals will still be there. He don't do the high fly shit anymore. But it's like the stuff he does is like he just get to do it. Chris Jericho, like you said, Chris Jericho is like the high fly that can't high fly anymore. And you're not necessarily big enough to be a power wrestler. Like, nobody gonna like that power shit would work better if he was like maybe 20 pounds bigger or 2 inches taller. Like, you ain't gonna bully unless you're gonna be out here bullying like Los Garzas or something like that. Like people that size, like that's not gonna nobody gonna take that seriously. So his issue is gonna be he has a style that didn't age well, and he's still trying to rock this. I'm still a cool guy. It's kind of like we make fun of Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, but Ricky Morton and like, well, not Robert Gibson, Ricky Morton kind of aged more gracefully than Chris Jericho did. Which is saying a lot, because it's kind of like Ricky Morton kind of lean into it. So he's like, I'm the cool old dude. Like, I know I'm old. I know I'm kind of corny, but I'm cool with it. I'm authentic with it, so it worked better. Chris Jericho's still trying to, like, Ricky Morton not trying to act like he's 30. He just trying to act like a cool old man. Chris Jericho trying to act like a cool young man. He's old, and that's it's different. Like, it's a different level of cool. Like, when you embrace your age, it work. I'm the cool old, like Brock Lesnar. I'm a old cowboy with a hat. I can still suplex people. I'm not gonna try to pretend I'm 20s. I know what I am. If Chris Jericho just lean, so I'm a grizzled veteran. But I don't know. But WWE fans eat up nostalgia, and this lot of fans that still like him. But
Oh,
I
I
personally
don't
not
even
one of them.
say WWE fans, like wrestling fans in general. Like, I've gone to enough indie shows, like, hey, I signed up for the King Kong Bundy signing. It's just like, okay.
Yeah, and I just laugh when they be having the flyers for people that they look that way 25. I'm like, y'all know Shane Douglas don't look like that anymore. Why y'all got that on the flyer? Like imagine you like it's like a Chris Eastwood signing, and you got a Dirty Harry picture of like 1982. I'm like, y'all know Damn Well Clint don't look like that anymore. Y'all know Harrison Ford don't look like Han Solo Empire Strikes Back anymore. Like Harrison Ford looks fine for his age. He is aged. Indie wrestling is like, yeah, you want to see Dawn Marie? Yeah, maybe I do, maybe I don't. But don't lie and act like it's 1997 or even 2007 Dawn Marie. Like, I know she don't look like that anymore. Why are you lying? Like, only Jerry Lawler get to do that because Jerry Lawler unfortunately still kind of looks that way and he shouldn't. But
Oh,
that's a
well.
story for another day. But most people, but I know it's like indie people, like, we know what it is, and it's like I think it's a charm too that I just always laugh because they show those pictures in their prime and you not getting in your prime. It's like, why are you lying to me? Like, if you did that with a car and you show me a picture when you got it when it's brand new, and then I come here and it's a whole different color with a dent in the bumper, I'm gonna feel a certain way. I'm like, that's not what I thought I was getting. I thought I was getting the picture. Indie wrestling, like, yeah, you want to see the Sandman?
Oh boy.
I don't know. At least the Sandman, like, I'm glad the ECW people are still alive at this point. So, like, the Sandman alive, he seemed functional, he seemed to be okay, and that's kudos to. And oh, I know how I really want to end. The people John Cena who was shaking hands with, I laughed my ass off when Elijah or Elias just teleported out of nowhere. Because when they was first in the front row, he was not there. And then all of a sudden, I was like, wait a second. Where'd he come from? How did he get those seats?
Oh yeah, I must have tapped out because I think I saw that after the fact, and I'm just like,
Because
oh,
he
okay.
was hugging everybody, and then he shook his hand about to hug him, and then he stopped because he saw Kevin Owens, and he gave a big hug to Kevin Owens, and that felt emotional. Like it was Eve Torres, who John Cena big deal because Eve don't be coming to WWE anymore like that. Like
Oh,
she kind of
gee,
like
mini Christmas. That's another one worth mentioning
yes,
before.
yeah.
I am pretty sure that like some other movie stars, Eve Torres does not age, evidently.
Oh no, she looked the same. It's like she was there with
Oh.
Triss. She's there with Triss, who ages very slowly, and they were both there get together. Mark Henry was there, Kurt Angle was there, Rob Van Dam was there, and then Kevin Owens was also there. Sami Zayn was there with his kid, and Haku was there with the MFT. He got a hug too. It's like somebody made a joke like Haku was there just in case John Cena didn't want to do business the right way. And it's wild where it's like people wonder like Haku's been like people forget. I think Haku was like The Rock's best man at his first wedding. And it's like, his sons are still in WWE. Like he was there with the rest of MFT. And then I saw some of the movies, like some of the celebrities. Jon Bernthal being there just cracked me up for whatever reason. I'm like, why is the Punisher here? I forgot. Oh yeah, he's here with his father-in-law, Kurt Angle, or
Oh.
uncle-in-law. Like I think he's married to like Kurt's like a cousin or a niece of Kurt Angle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I was just laughing. I was like, they go to Punisher. Like I forgot it was some other people there, but just
Yeah, I
John Bert.
forgot. I guess I saw some of the online posted pictures with John Bernthal, and I'm just like, oh, okay. Like, that's wild.
Yeah, like I think Vanessa Hudgens was there. Like she used to go a lot.
Yeah, that one is while always pleasant on the eyes is a not surprise at this juncture.
Tyrese Halliburton was there, but no. It just reminded me, like, what pay-per-view was it? Survivor Series that Topanga got the biggest pop of the night.
I think so.
Yeah, I was just wild, and it was wild because it was a lot of celebrities there, and they show her. They was treating her like she was Hulk Hogan. I was like, I guess we all did watch Boy Meets World, huh?
I am on the short list of just old enough to have not watched Boy Meets World. So yeah, like that is all the generation just after me.
Yes, it's always wild who gets the pops who did. Because one thing I know what's his name, Fluffy Gabriel Iglesias.
Fluffy.
He always gets a big reaction every time they show
He
him.
gets a nice pop.
Yeah, I remember Macaulay Culkin. Yeah, he ate. I remember
Oh,
his. He ate up. He
it
like he knew
between him
too.
and Topanga, biggest non-wrestling pops out
Yes,
there.
and it's like nostalgia goes a long way. And he just seemed like he just living his best life. Like I'll work because I think he's on season two of Fallout.
Oh,
That
yeah, that one
drops
seems
to,
like fun that I
yeah.
haven't started to watch, but looks like
That's a
something I could get
it's a fun
into.
show. Like I'm any Walt. I haven't seen a bad performance from Walton Goggins yet. I still haven't seen one. Like he's that show. Like that's a
Yeah.
real good show. And McCall like I work when I want to work, and I'm married to Brenda Song. Life is beautiful. It's kind of like he seemed like he's just living the life. I overcame the nonsense with my parents. I'm living my best life. My brother can get all the awards. I still got my money, and I got a hot Disney princess as my wife that loves little old me, and people still recognize me. So, see, he seems well adjusted, which is surprising considering how that easy could have turned. So.
Well, maybe people will recognize us on the internet at Stunt Granny. And you can also recognize us at DeFrango11 and at Philly underscore drugs. My a Beltane beer a suggestion of the show. Should one find themselves down in the Norfolk slash Virginia Beach area of the world's Smart Mouth Brewing, which I may have been called a smart mouth from time to time growing up. Savage Mondo Hazy IPA. This is one of their base IPAs. It's 7.5% alcohol, and it is a very, very good beverage. So, should one find themselves in that part of Virginia, go to their brewery. So that is my suggestion. Rate and review us on Spotify, and what is the other one? Oh, Apple Podcasts, and download us at other places like YouTube Music and iHeartRadio. Shahid, send us on out here, sir.
For Kevin DeFranco, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and I don't know how skinny people make it through life because I'm always cold. We are out.